Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to be starting a new series. We just finished Life Along the Way, and we're going to be starting our series now called Live in the Moment. And we're going to be asking ourselves some questions as we go through this month of November before we hit December, which will be here, or should I say Dressember, which will be here before you know it, and we'll be talking so much about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I want to turn as our opening scripture and then pray for our message this morning to Genesis chapter 3. And I'm just going to read verse 9. And then we're going to go to John chapter 14. And we're going to talk about listening to Jesus. But this is what Genesis 3 verse 9 says. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" The Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And so, Father, we come to you right now, Lord Jesus, and we just declare our need of you, Lord. As we sang this morning, how I need you, walk with me. And so, Lord, as we look at living in the moment, these next several weeks, God, and we're asking the question, where are you? Are you hiding from God as Adam and Eve were, or are you listening for his voice and desiring to be used by him? God, we're asking that you would speak to our hearts again today by your power and by your spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In John 14, verses 1 through 6, and then verse 9a, this is the voice of Jesus speaking to his disciples. This is the night that he's going to be betrayed. This is the night that he's going to go through his persecution and his intense suffering. And he's speaking to his disciples. It's his last night. And this is what he says to them. And really, when you think about it, imagine yourself being in that type of a situation. You're living in a country like Richard Wurmbrand did. This is what Jesus is saying to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, he said. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. Traditionally, we've understood this. The King James Version says there are many mansions. But in my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And then going down to verse 9, just going to do the first part of verse 9. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip?" And so the reason why I'm going to this portion of Scripture right now is because, you know, when you're talking, you know, about the persecuted church, and when you see what you see, one of the questions that I ask myself is, what motivates someone to be able to endure something like that and to keep praying for the ones that are persecuting him? What possibly could there be that would motivate someone to do that? And there's two things that I really want to point to right here. One of them is truth. Truth. Jesus is saying right here, "I am the way to heaven. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me." You cannot go through what we saw on that video unless you believe this with all of your heart. And so in order for you to believe this with all of your heart, that Jesus is the truth, that he is who he said he is, that he is God, that he became a man, And that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was crucified, died, and was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. And unless you believe that he is the truth, you can't do that. It's impossible for you to do that unless you believe that with all of your heart. And you can't believe that with all of your heart unless you get to know him. You really have to know who Jesus is. And unfortunately, if you're relying on TV or, you know, the internet to tell you who Jesus is, you're going to get a false picture of who he is. You're not going to really see the real Jesus. That's why it's so important for us to spend time in his word. It's so important for us to spend time sitting at his feet. It's so important for us to spend time in the Word of God, spending time with Jesus. Because it's only as you spend time with him, and what are we doing? We're listening. We're listening. Jesus is constantly speaking to us, and we're listening to what Jesus would say. You know, Jesus often spoke. And so did the disciples. If you go through the Word of God, you know, sometimes these are some of the verses that we oftentimes don't want to look at the Word of God. And I'm not going to go there and read them, but they're vast. But Jesus often spoke about the fact that we would be persecuted. And he did it because he wanted to prepare us. He didn't want us, he wanted us to know that this would come, and he didn't want it to be a hindrance to our faith, because if he didn't tell us and it happened, what would we think? But Jesus is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You see, today, philosophy has done its job in the United States of America, and today, whatever you want to be true is true, and whatever I want to be true is true, and we can have two opposite things that we both say are true. Which one is true, the sky is blue or the sky is black? You know, well, that's a factual thing. We know the sky is blue, right? I remember in philosophy class, they put a red chair in front of us, and they wanted us to prove that the chair was red. They were just trying to show us that there are no absolutes, that you couldn't prove it was red. You think it's foolishness? That is foolishness. But that's the world we live in today. So if Jesus is true, based upon just classical logic, anything that is not Jesus, therefore, is not true. A cannot be non-A. So if Jesus says that he's the truth, and if we come to know him and we come to understand and know he's the truth, guess what we'll be willing to do? We'll be willing to lay down our life for him. We'll be willing to follow him wherever he would lead us. And he will give us strength. That's the good news, is he's poured out his spirit upon us. You know, when you look at that verse in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's really what, you know, we've talked recently about, you know, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and receiving the power of God. And what is the purpose? The purpose is to be to have power to be witnesses. Well, that word witness is the Greek word martus. And I think Pastor Sam brought this up. That's where we get our American word martyr, believe it or not. You know, and this is the call of Jesus. He calls us to lay down our life and to give ourselves completely to him. Amen? So Jesus is the truth. Jesus is claiming to be the truth. And if Jesus claims to be the truth, there's really only two alternatives. Either his claims were true or his claims were false. If Jesus is claiming to be the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, either his claims were true or his claims were false. And if his claims were false, there's two alternatives as well. He either knew his claims were false, or he didn't know his claims were false. If he didn't know his claims are false, then he was sincerely deluded and he's a lunatic. Literally. If he did know his claims were false, then he was a liar, he was a hypocrite, he was a deceiver, and he was a fool because he died for it. Or his claims were true. You know, I love what Paul says. He says, the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. He said, on the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to trick you, he's saying. John said that he saw these things. Peter said, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And when we come to know Jesus, he does incredible things in our life. And he gives us incredible moments. Moments to be able to share who he is with somebody else. And that's, it's an awesome thing. You know, as Paul wrote to Philemon, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, that you may have a full understanding of all the great things we have in Christ. And we don't have to be afraid in this country, do we? Because even though Jesus spoke so much about the persecuted church, guess what? You and I have never seen that. Yeah, I've had people crinkle up tracts and throw them at me and stuff like that, but that's not persecution. Not like what we saw. I've had people make fun of me and things like that. That's not a big deal. I've had family members who disagree with me, but none of them that wanted to turn me in. But we have, you know, living in the moment, we have such awesome opportunities here in the United States of America to share, to witness the love of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And I asked somebody if they would be willing to come and just share one of those instances that happened with them this week. So I'm going to ask Kayla if she'd just come up real quick and share with us.
Hi, guys. Just a little nervous. But something that God has been working in me and Pastor Sam, he's not here because he's sick, but he has been putting on our heart is to witness to people. And it's crazy that you're speaking about this. But so Sam and I went to this conference with the youth in October, and the speaker there was talking about witnessing. And I was like, that's really cool for other people to witness, but I'm not going to do that because I overthink everything, and I can't be the only one who's like that. So, like, when we're having a conversation and you're like, hi, how are you? I'm already thinking of how I'm going to respond to anything that you're going to say to me. So how am I going to witness to people? Because what if I don't have the answer of what you're going to ask? And so I made all these excuses, and I was like, anyway, I'm a stay-at-home mom, so half the time I'm with my kids, and I'm not out anyway. So it was crazy. So I took the girls for a walk at Brady's Run, and we're outside, and usually I play music because it kind of calms Aiden and Anna down a little bit. They're still kind of wild. So I'm like, Ada, what do you want to listen to? And she's like, we're going to worship Jesus. And I'm like, okay, I'll put on Elevation Worship and just play it out loud. And I'm walking, and this lady comes up from behind me. And she's like, is that Elevation Worship? And I was like, yes. And Ada yells out, we're worshiping Jesus. And I was like, yeah, Ada. So she's like, you're not going to believe this. And I was already excited because usually when someone says that, like something crazy happened. So she's like, you're not going to believe this. And my sister gave me this CD to listen to, which is what I was playing. She's like, and this exact song I was listening to on the way here. She's like, I'm not a Christian, but my sister is. And I was asking for God to do something in my life. And she didn't really give me all the details of what was going on, and I didn't really press and ask her because Ada was like screaming. And so she's like, this is my sign, God is speaking to me right now. And so I was like, wow, God can use me as I'm walking my little girls around Brady's Run to witness to somebody without even me trying. He just used me. And so it was amazing, and it was amazing for Ada because she was all excited because I was explaining to her what happened. And so we had walked with the lady and talked for a little bit, and she left. And so just sitting here, I'm like, we're not persecuted. So why is it so hard for me to tell someone about God? And the speaker at that conference, he had told a story or a question, and he was like, if someone was going to give you $1 million, would you take it? And everyone says, yes, I'm going to take $1 million. And he's like, well, you don't know the person that's giving you $1 million. Are you going to ask questions? Are you going to say, what school did you go to? Like, what's your home life like? And we're all like, no, we're going to take $1 million and we're going to get out of there because now we're rich. And he was like, well, that's what it's like when you're sharing God to other people. Like, this is worth more than $1 million. So give it away freely and nobody's going to care because they're getting this free gift of eternal life. And I was like, that's like the most basic thing. And it blew my mind in that moment. And so, I don't know, just be encouraged. And I guess I have 2 points that one, God can use you wherever you are, because I was at Brady's Run. So if you're at work, at school, wherever, God can use you. And not to be scared, because God is God and he's powerful and he's going to work through you. And it's just really exciting.
Amen. But don't you love how God sets things up? Because this woman who was wondering about becoming a Christian or faith in Christ just happened to be listening to the song. And the other thing that Sam had told me, you know, about this testimony was that usually Kayla doesn't play her music out loud when she walks. She puts the earphones in. So this was a unique time also where she just happened to take, you know, have the earphones off and let the music be playing out loud. But God knew that other woman was going to be there. And so he set up a divine appointment. Here's the other thing about that story that, you know, because when you think about the persecuted church, and I don't know, I've done a lot of reading about, you know, like with Corey Ten Boom and Andrew, Brother Andrew and others. But, you know, when that woman came up to Kayla, she didn't have to worry, is this woman a spy? Is this woman, you know, gonna turn me in because I'm listening to a Christian CD? You know, this is one of the proofs to me that our country was founded on biblical principles. I'm not saying that our country is perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, why did the pilgrims come here? Why did, you know, the first settlers come here? Well, many of them came because of religious persecution and because they wanted to come to a place where they could freely worship the Lord without having to worry about what somebody else might think. And what a, you know, how awesome it is that here was a moment that God created. Live in the moment. Here was a moment that God created, you know, and knew where Kayla was going to be and brought this person. And how easy it is for us to sometimes miss these moments. You know, when God, you know, said to Adam, where are you? You know, where are you right now? Are you in a place where you're listening for God? Where you're allowing God to speak to you so that when this moment comes, you're ready for it? And you're ready to be able to share the love of Jesus Christ to somebody else? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Are you prepared for that? You know, and Jesus sets things like this up. And let me go to John chapter 1. And I just want to read this little story. And I know I've read it before. But I love what happens here with Nathanael. And in John chapter 1 and verse 43, it says, Jesus is just beginning his ministry. Just starting out. And John the Baptist had just pointed him out as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And it says, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and he said to him, follow me. This is what Jesus is saying to all of us, follow me. You know, and when we follow him, this is where the moments come. And we're about to see a moment here. You know, not much unlike the moment that Kayla had where she didn't even realize, just playing that CD, God was using her to speak to somebody. But it says, now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." I love those two words, or three words rather. Come and see, that's three. I took math in school, but it took me 5 years to graduate high school, so that was not my strong point there. "Come and see," he says. You know, and that's really, you know, when we're following Jesus, and when we've realized that he's the truth, and when we've come to know who he is, this is what we'll be telling people. Come and see who Jesus is. You need to see Jesus. I want you to see Jesus. And Jesus saw Nathanael. Because I want you to know something, that when we're, even as we're trying to bring someone to Jesus, you need to know that Jesus is already seeing them. Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you need and what you don't need. So Philip said to Nathanael, "Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael's saying, "Why is this guy trying to butter me up?" So that's what he says. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." I've spoken about this in the past as a now I know moment. And I oftentimes have thought that more than likely Nathanael was under that tree talking to God. How do I know this? Because of the response of Nathanael. And he was saying something like this: "God, do you even see me? Do you know what I'm going through?" And then this friend of his says, "Hey, come on, come and see this guy. Jesus in Nazareth, can anything come from, you know, he's already got this attitude." Jesus says, "Here's an Israelite in who there's nothing false, there's no deceit in this man. How do you know me?" And he says, "I saw you before Philip came and got you under the fig tree." And he says this: "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." See, that's a moment where all of a sudden you're walking in the park and there's a woman playing the same song you were just playing. And you think, "Who is this person?" And you run up to them and say, "What is that, Elevation Worship music?" "Well, yeah, it is." God wants to have a moment like this in all of our lives. Have you had a moment like this in your life? Or have you been used in some way to make a moment like this in somebody else's life? This is what God wants for us. He wants us to be people that are willing to share our faith. And listen to what happens after Nathanael says, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe?" He says, "You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." You want to know what Jesus is saying right there? He's saying the same thing he said in John chapter 14. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It may not look like that, does it? He says, "You will see the Son of Man. You'll see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You'll see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." You see, this would have been, to any Jewish person, they would have known immediately what Jesus was alluding to right here. What was he talking about? Well, there's a story in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 28, I believe, where Jacob is fleeing from his brother Esau because Esau wants to kill him. And Jacob's fleeing to his relatives. He's going to go to Laban, his uncle. And he lays down in a certain place, and he sets a rock there, and he lays down on the rock. I thought, what an awesome bed that is. Read it. That's what he does. And then he has a dream. And in the dream, there's a ladder or a stairway going to heaven. The stairway up. There's a ladder going up to heaven. And yeah, it's called Jacob's ladder. There's a ladder going up to heaven. And the angels of God are ascending and descending on that ladder. And he says, this is the house of God. It would later be called Bethel, which means the house of God. This is the very place where God dwells. It's right going right up to heaven. And this is what Jesus is alluding to here. He said, I tell you truly, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man, just as they were on that ladder. He says, that ladder was the way up to heaven. He says, I am the way up to heaven. I am that way. I am that way. And Jesus wants to reveal himself to each one of us. So, as we're talking about living in the moment, let's be challenged, even as Kayla talked about, to be willing to share our faith, to be willing to look for those instances, those times in our life when God wants to use us. I remember back, excuse me. I'm catching what my son Sam had. I sound a little froggy today. I remember back when I was in Youth with a Mission. I'm going to ask the worship team if they'd come forward right now. And, you know, I was afraid to witness. I was afraid to tell somebody about Jesus. Not because it meant that I would be persecuted, but people might make fun of me. And I was afraid to do that. But I had a good friend. His name was Steve Hayes. And Steve was just an evangelist. I'd have to say, if anybody had the gift of evangelism, it was Steve. And we would go out on Saturdays into Concord, New Hampshire, because I lived in New Hampshire at the time. And we would go downtown Concord, New Hampshire, and we would be having conversations with people. We were going there to tell people about Jesus. And I remember this one particular Saturday, I went with them, and I really went with them as an observer more than anything else. Because I think I was very much like you, Kayla. You know, it wasn't my forte. You know, that was for somebody else to do. But yet, in the Word of God, I'd seen it clearly. God tells us to go and tell others about the love of Jesus Christ. And that as we do that, you know, God will reveal himself to us, will show himself strong in our lives. And so I was there with Steve, just in the middle of the main street of Concord. And Steve is having conversation after conversation after conversation with people. And I'm just kind of sitting there praying. And it kind of got me a little down. Because I tried a couple of times to speak to somebody and nothing really was happening, and there was no real conversations taking place. And then I was like, well, here's Steve. He's like, you know, talking to this one person and going into depth with them about Jesus, and talking to this other person going into depth with them about Jesus. And here I am, and I can't even get anyone to say hi to me. And so I went up and I talked to Steve, and I said, Steve, you know what? You know, why is this happening? He says, well, you know, Mike, God honors faith. Yeah, yeah. He says, and if you just step out in faith, then maybe you'll start having some conversations. I said, well, what do you mean? He says, I think God is telling you that you're supposed to go on to the other side of the street. No, no way. No way am I going on to the other side of the street. He goes, well, why don't you just take a step of faith and and trust the Lord and see, just see what happens. If nothing happens, it's not any different than you just sitting here right by me. Okay. All right. I'll try that. I'll do it, Lord. So I went across the street. And I just watched people pass by at first. And I was just afraid, but then finally I just said, "Excuse me." And I can't remember what I said or what, but I just began to talk to somebody as I stepped out in faith, trusting God. Because you know, when we talk about faith and stepping out in faith, that means we have to do something. And so as I left the one side of the street and went to the other side of the street and started talking to people about Jesus, guess what? I started having conversations with people. And I also found that I had something to say. Now, at the time, I was 21 years old. I was a young, young man. I didn't know the Bible like I do today. But that's the other thing that we don't, you know, when we're going to be talking about the Lord says, don't worry about what you are to say in that hour, because I will give you the words to say. This is another thing about stepping out in faith. You know, like Kayla said, I have to know what I'm going to say, the next step. No, you don't, because this is what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and His Spirit lives inside of you, guess what He's going to do? He's going to give you power at that moment. When you're at the grocery store and you're thinking that you should go talk to that person, but this is just me. Is it me or is it God? Usually it's God. and you step out in faith and you do it. You know, you might not even see, there might not be some miraculous thing that takes place. But God is training us to hear His voice, to listen, to be in the moment. God is training us to be in the moment, to hear His voice. So that when, you know, that divine appointment comes, we will be available to Him. Because His eyes are ranging throughout the earth. He's looking to and fro throughout the earth to strongly support those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. So you can be in that moment where God is preparing someone for you to talk to. And you don't know, you know, what you share. You know, you might think one thing, but that's why He says, do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in me. I will give you the words to say. And let God use you. Let God use you. So let's just commit ourselves to Him today. And say, Lord, just be honest with Him. Lord, I'm afraid. Even though we really aren't persecuted in this country. And we have the freedom to share our faith with people. Let's be aware that God is preparing for us moments. And there's so many things that we're doing even now that can be, what's the word I'm looking for? Platforms for this, like the commuter cycle. You can be helping fix a bike for a little boy and his mom and dad is right there. And you can share with them the love of Jesus. Or you can go to Crossroads Homeless Shelter like we've been going. And this 24-year-old man's there, and he just comes over and he wants to talk, and he's just open, and we're just starting to share with him. Or the one time it was an elderly gentleman, and he wouldn't let Nancy go, so I stepped in and just started talking to him. But there's opportunities. Or you go to Rochester Manor and just let those people know that they're loved, that they're not forgotten, going to Providence Care. And I go on the third floor, and I just, every time I go, I let them know. They might not remember, you know, their own name. But I'm telling them, Jesus hasn't forgotten you. He loves you. Or you're just walking down the street and you see someone walking towards you. Most often, we probably don't even think to talk to that person. But maybe this is a moment that God has prepared for you. Maybe you're afraid. I know I'm afraid. I'll just be honest with you. I get afraid to share Jesus sometimes. But when you step out, that's where the power comes. It's when you take that step, God's power is there. And all it takes is just saying these three words. Walk with me. Walk with me. Walk with me. So we're going to close with that song this morning. Let's just stand to our feet and let's trust God.